question.
You are a human animal. You are a very special breed. For you are the only animal who can think, who can reason, who can read.
Hello and welcome to Bookworm. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Today my guest is Dennis Cooper, the author most recently of Guide, published by Grove Press. The previous books in the sequence of novels are Try, Frisk, Closer, in reverse order. And I want to begin by saying that for me, I can barely wait to receive the new Dennis Cooper novel because I know it's going to be a report from the forefront of where narrative, the ability to tell a story, to shape the world as a story, intersects with consciousness, with thought. And so that boundary line, which is going to take the personal and see how it can be made theoretical, how the internal can be stylized into narrative, is what I tend to find there. It seems to me to be remarkably present tense, that the horror show antics that are the clothing of the plot facilitate a movement in the writing to give the writing a fidelity to the movements of an obsessed mind, but that the writing is very, very much concerned with arriving at the truth of the mind pursuing itself to distraction. Could you say a word or two about the structuring of this book?
I mean, I agree with all that, and I was trying to make that even more present in this book. I think I've been becoming sort of disenchanted with narrative in some way, and I wanted to make the novel about the thought process, and make the fiction a kind of illustration of the thought process. So the way the book's set up is there's a kind of war, especially at the beginning, between the between like nonfiction and fiction, and then a war within those two between truth and lies, and fantasy and whatever collective reality would be, and they kind of battle one another for a while at the beginning, and then there's a kind of a play back and forth between parts that are very narrative and seem fictional, and then are polluted with a kind of nonfiction or a kind of thought, and back and forth through the book, so kind of to create a kind of disorientation. Yet it's kind of I mean, my idea was to set up a kind of, I was thinking of the term like a trippy reasonableness. It's like everything's reasonable and everything is slightly askew and slightly unreal. So it was just I just thought of it as being kind of symphonic. It was like movements and they kind of echo one another and things. And I don't know.
When I moved to Los Angeles, Dennis Cooper took me to rock concerts and I didn't know how to go to them. You know, I'd never done that kind of thing before. And we'd have these terrific battles, and I'd say, well, I don't know. That culture seems to me merchandised and made for consumption, and I get very nervous about its consumability. And he'd say, no, you don't understand. That's one kind of, you know, I can't do your hesitations, yeah. But it would go something like that this is in fact honest speech trying to sneak through the cracks of commercial presentation, and that when one went to a concert, the degree of chaotic feeling liberated by the music in its explosiveness, in one's inability to hear the words, in its loudness, and I began to understand, in fact, there I'd be in the hall, standing next to Dennis, standing absolutely erect, nodding to the music as if in some way tasting it suavely. There would be this thrash of bodies all around, and onto anyone's face one could project anything. That there was this beauty of having one's conscious mind obliterated by the bath of sound, while one's imagination focused on this face or that face, and one could imagine entire lives. You could, in fact, hypothesize entire affairs with these very beautiful lovers of the music. And at the same time, like demigods, the musicians are there compelling their projections onto the crowd. And the interconnected mix of consciousnesses, bath of consciousness, seemed to me to be the environment of a Dennis Cooper novel.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true. That's so interesting.
That what astonished me was the ability to put that into language with its noise factor and everything else.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. I mean, I actually never thought about that, but that's actually very true. That's exactly what I want in the fiction. Yeah, that's right. I mean, because in a situation like a rock concert, there's ostensibly the focus of attention, which is the band, but and then it's very complex, that situation. The band, which is like the physical body in which you're supposed to lay your eyes, and then there's the sound and then the intention of the music and the lyrics and things, and then there's the kind of like fakery and degree of emotion there, and then there's like the music doesn't really happen until it hits the audience, and then there's the effect there, and then the way it moves their bodies, all those things. I would like that kind of like churning and just this complex system of like all these signals happening at once. I mean, I do see rock concerts that way, and I do. I mean, the novels are kind of a crosshatch of all these signals and things, but I try to make everyone articulated individually. But when they come together, there's this confusion, and that's kind of the beauty of it. But each little strain of it is very articulated in and of itself. And so, yeah, and I think especially in Guide, that's true that there's just all these signals crossing, and the book is not what it is on the page at all. It creates this kind of disoriented kind of like state or something. And that's where whatever it is. It's like, yeah, well, that's why I used LSD in this novel too, because that's the closest I've ever seen to that kind of effect. Because I mean, LSD is like one of the things that happens in this novel. The characters are on LSD or coming off LSD the entire time of the book. And LSD does that too. It takes the world and it collects it. It fractures it and makes it. I mean, you can see how incredibly complex it is, but it also makes it incredibly – you can see everything. Everything is equal. You know what I mean? Everything has the same weight. And that's one thing I was really interested in. How strange it is to see everything – I mean, to like be in a state where everything is like okay. Everything is like blankly okay. It's sort of – there's no – you have no like emotional reaction to anything when you're on LSD, for instance. At least my experience of it when I was younger, and I wanted to try to simulate that in the book in a way, so that like no matter what happens, it's kind of coldly fascinating, and yet means no more than anything else. Like you're saying, the horrible things or the awful things are just like this galaxy of details of things that all. I don't know. Sorry.
I'm speaking to Dennis Cooper about his new novel, Guide, published by Grove. Now, one of the fascinating things to me is that as in an LSD experience, things will become over-focused and then arrive at you with the speed of truth.
Yeah.
So suddenly, the narrator in this book seems to locate one of the truths of fiction, which is that there is out there a physical thing which words, which are not physical, are attempting to describe, and that this is an intersection of two impossible systems,
right.
That words cannot touch a shoulder, nor can a shoulder be wounded by words.
Right.
And that this hallucination, when we're reading fiction, is where the reader is located, in that blank space between address and actual touch,
yeah.
And that what needs to be aligned is described, explored, is the confusion between the two, not the join between the two.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean,
but how you see, I'd never seen that actually worked out in a novel before.
I can see hints of it in different things. I mean, I can think of things that get at what I'm interested in. I mean, the novels of Blanchot are very much about that. Bresson, the filmmaker Bresson, was a big hero. There's very much that going on. Even something a curious thing like, and I guess I'm mentioning all films, or a lot of films here, but Videodrome, for instance, the Cronenberg film, which completely disorients you. I was thinking a lot about that. There are things that get at it, but there's a kind of there's some lack of tenderness or something in all those works, and that's what I was interested in trying to get a kind of tenderness and a kind of compassion in there, because those seem to be that lacks. That may be different in a way, is that I'm actually sort of romantic and sincere, and I think the sincerity is maybe what's odd about my work, is that it's so tricky and complex, and yet at the same time I'm not an ironic person. I'm actually really, sweet.
Well, it seems to me that it's like the complexity is the circuitry of I and the I having to describe something and create an identity for yourself out of it, that this is a condition of life, that these are not made-up qualities to write an experimental novel, but rather an attempt to render a condition that drugs makes more complicated. Drugs make the condition of all of these synaptic cross-hatchings impossible to chart, but nevertheless they are there. Yeah. And if the novel is an attempt to mirror reality on some level, yours are the novels that mirror the difficulties in rendering reality.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, that's... Yeah, it's true. Well, and then that's why it's very difficult for me to... Do you understand what I mean? It's very difficult for me to talk about it outside the novel, because... I mean, I build them from, like, mush, you know? I just build them from, like, a mush. And they become so intricate, and they take a long time to... And everything changes so much, and I arrive at some point where they seem clear, but it takes me so long to do that, and it's very difficult for me to talk about it outside of the work. I mean...
Well, it is true that the work creates its context and then builds itself almost like a DNA molecule out of the disorganization of elements, and that these elements are likely to collapse at any moment back into disorganization.
Yeah.
That the fits and starts seems to be part of the methodology as well. Or
that's the truth, I guess.
Yeah.
Honesty of it.
Yeah, and even this idea where suddenly the writing will get very clear about something, too clear, and you'll realize, the acid is wearing off. This person is starting to feel weary and hungover, and he's asserting truths that he no longer believes. And then the language is caught out like a diving board over, an abyss.
Yeah.
And there is the immediate recognition that what's being said is not true, and the narrator retracts it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. That's so true.
Now, this should make, it seems to me, readers who've been bored by novels because of their falseness, it should make readers very happy. And I notice that this book is receiving ecstatic reviews everywhere, from the LA Times by Gary Indiana, who compares you to Faulkner and Günter Grass, to Bret Easton Ellis in the New York Post, who does come at something that is true, and I think truer of this book than any of the others. I'm going to read the last paragraph from Bret Easton Ellis's review. Quote, Guide is the most structurally sophisticated of Cooper's books, and even though he's always been a compassionate writer, for the first time, it's all on the surface here, which is very pleasing, and it gives his new work a different kind of tension than the last horror shows had. There's an upfront, tender quality behind the rock and roll posturing that's not exactly unexpected, but you can feel the author's surprise as he's discovering it. That's from Bret Easton Ellis's review of my guest Dennis Cooper's book, Guide. Now, but it's not just tenderness that this book isolates for the first time, For the first time, the Dennis character is allowed to be an inferior person. He's getting older. He acknowledges that many of his ideas are fantasies, that he's not much different from, pardon the expression, any other old man who wants a young boy, and that there's somehow or other a terrible, sad maturing of the narrative condition. Whereas before, the author had been romantic in his flirtation with danger and as attractive in his extremity as the boys he's describing, it's almost as if here the narrator wants to surrender.
Mm. Yeah, well, he wants... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, he wants to disappear into something. Something that the language is trying to map out. So. Yeah. No, I mean, it's true.
What would that be? Disappear into what?
Some kind of objective standpoint, I guess. Some kind of logic. I guess, I mean, you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, the reasonableness. It's like, I don't know. I think that precision. I think that Dennis wants to disappear into a kind of objective precision, a precise objectiveness.
Because my sense is that the books are written because the narrator, at some level, experiences an unfulfillable need and desire. As the books go on, these desires are, in fact, sometimes fulfilled in whatever quote-unquote real world exists to the novel.
Yeah.
That is to say, there comes a closeness between Dennis and Luke, which, although not sexual, is satisfying on some level and provides an alternative to all sorts of actual flesh occurrences and fantasy occurrences of flesh and fantasy occurrences of the destruction of flesh and realistic hypotheses about what happens when flesh is brutalized as represented by the serial killers in the various books.
Right.
So that it seems as if a still point from which a lot of competing fantasy is generated, a still point is discovered in this book for the first time, as if there's an island of serenity.
That's true. I know, and it's true, and I don't think it's something as simple as asexuality, although on the surface that's what it is. I mean, no, there's this a loss of belief in the profundity of, you know, some of the fantasies that he's had. I mean, I don't know. It'd be hard to describe what it is because I never know, you know. I mean, it's, and I think, you know, all these books are like part of a cycle, right?
Yes.
I think that when I do the next one, which is the last one, that it'll arrive somewhere. I'm not sure where yet, though.
How did you know? It seemed from the second book on, you've known that there would be five of them. Why five?
Well, I didn't actually – I didn't know there would be five, actually, although five's always been a number that I liked. I always knew that they were one work, and I always knew that I wouldn't do them forever, and I always wanted them to be seen as one work. But I didn't really know until I started Guide, because then when I started Guide to me is the parallel book to Frisk. I saw the structure of the whole thing. It's like it's starting to come back on it. So it's starting to turn around. I mean, Try was like the heart of the book or something, and also like attempt to like believe in narrative, which I think was a failure. I mean, I like the book, something against the book, but in my mind, I mean, I don't believe in narrative. So now it's like the narrative is starting to disintegrate and eat itself up in Guide, and so the last one, and I think now it's time to seal it shut. So I feel like this one's going to be, I just want to seal it closed and get, you know, make it, put it purely in a fantasy space, and that will be the end. But so I don't know. When I started Guide, I realized there would be two more. I mean, there would be one more after Guide. And
now, if one is seeing Try as the heart of this sequence and the two books surrounding it, Frisk and Guide, are both in a way theoretical books. They study how things become abstractions. Closer, the book that initiates the sequence and one assumes will be balanced by the last book in the sequence is the most visceral of the books, the most nihilistic and anarchic. Are those critics and writers who've been watching this evolution of tenderness and a separation from violent fantasy and almost like parents applauding you for taking steps toward humanity? Are those critics? I suspect that this last book is going to be, in fact, the most violent and difficult of all.
I think it may well be, but I don't think it'll be what it won't be pornography. You know, it won't be pornography. So I don't know. But I mean, I think that the book, it is the book after these. I think that people now, I do think that, I mean, I think that every book has been a bit of a surprise, you know, and I think that Guide is a bit of a surprise too. And I think the next one will be a bit of a surprise, but I don't think they function without the other ones, you know. So I think that while it may be strange that it will return to Closer in some way, it's going to be very different, and it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of like gaps in it and a lot of, it'll be placed more securely somewhere. I mean, Closer like mimicked reality and in a lot of ways. And the last one is going to be quite clearly like in a place that does not exist, you know. So I'll be curious to see what happens. But yes, I mean, I think people will be surprised if they care.
What emerges as one maps these books is that while dealing with perhaps the most disturbing subjects that contemporary fiction has available to it, as Gary Indiana says in his review, Dennis Cooper lives where writers like Bret Easton Ellis and others only go voguing. the real story seems to be, and I know that many people who've been close to you feel this way, is that a real body of lasting work is being constructed in our presence, and the equal impulse of all of these writers to compare you to Faulkner or Poe or Genet or de Sade is out of a lack of knowing how to see, how to respond to a real literary project emerging in our midsts. This century has known them. The books of Memories of Things Past were things that people responded to and wondered how would it all come together, and there still is an enormous debate in the case of Proust about whether it does come together. But I wanted to ask you how you respond to the mixture of seriousness and derision with which these...
Work?
Yes.
How do I respond to it?
What does it make you feel?
Well, I mean, right now? I mean, last year I went through like a terrible depression and loss of faith in my work because of it. So, but right now, I don't know. You know, I'm such an obsessive writer, and I just sort of believe so much in what I'm doing. And it's only until last year, I guess I had some kind of midlife crisis or something, and I started to realize like how much I had going against me in terms of like letting the work be understood, because so rarely the work has been understood in the past. Although it seems like Guide it's been going better, you know. But I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to be. I mean, my logic is my god, you know. I'm trying to be logical about it,
When you say how rarely the work has been understood in the past, is that the way in which people simply respond to the violence and sexuality of it, and not to the what?
Well, not to the. I've always used language almost in like, I mean, it's a such a stupid term, but I mean, it's like a religious thing to me, losing language. I mean, I feel like, I mean, I'm not religious, but I feel like almost like I'm creating a spell or something with language. And that somehow if I use language, which like is so incapable of describing, and I use language to describe things which are indescribable, which are my subject matter, that somehow in this collision there, you know, if I organize it and stuff, that that's what it's about. And it seems like people, understandably in a way, but I mean, people just respond to the horror or that it's gay or these other things, you know, and they don't understand, they just don't understand like that it's not about, it's about something that isn't there on the page. I mean, it's about, I don't know, it's about, I don't even know, you know. But it's. I mean, that the work is very, you know, complex. I mean, and I don't mean like that as a compliment to myself. I just mean that's the way it works, you know. Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's the transcendent interrelation of these elements, which then includes certain factual elements about your own life.
Right.
But almost as if the question in the work becomes, what would synthesize the person who writes these things, the fact that what the person is doing is writing, and the fact that he's reaching for a goal that's beyond sex or violence or anger, or what would a novel of spiritual vocation be that dealt with the difficulty of inhabiting a overly physical world?
I don't know. Maybe the problem is the word novel or something. I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know how to write a novel. You know, I just really, it's, I just, you know, I just use narrative to meet my ends, you know. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I was a poet, you know, I came out of poetry, and the fiction I really admire is always, it's not fiction that works in a conventional way, and I don't know. So I don't know. I get very frustrated, but actually I'm accustoming myself to it, and it seems like, I don't know, I believe in the work, you know, I really do. But it's nice some people see it, but yeah, I do get tired, I'm very tired, and that's one of the reasons I want to stop writing about the subject matter and why, you know, I intend to stop writing about the subject matter completely after this fifth book, because I'm just so tired of being misread or something, and I guess I feel like I've lost the battle, and or I've done as much as I can, let's put it that way, and I just want to see if I can, you know, kind of move on or something.
I've been speaking to Dennis Cooper. His most recent book is the novel Guide from Grove. Thank you for joining me, Dennis.
Thank you, Michael.
My associate producer is Melinda Siegel. The engineer is Jennifer Swadek. Additional production assistance from Alan Howard. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next week on Bookworm.
To the jungles you can go in books.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is made available to the public radio system by SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica. Cassette copies of this and other Bookworm programs are available. For ordering information, call KCRW at 310-450-5183.
Make you laugh and say, books tell you everything. They're your treasure, friends in prose and rhyme.
Now with book, off the mouse, while